Let us begin our worship this evening by singing hymn number 176 to the tune Hamilton 151. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name, let all our powers agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. Whom, dear Jesus, O to whom shall needy sinners flee, but to thyself, who bidst us come, our springs are all in thee. Hymn number 176.
Reading this evening from the Holy Word of God is from the book of Jonah, and we'll read chapters 1 and 2. The book of Jonah, reading together chapter 1 and chapter 2. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the God, the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but They could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. May God's own blessing rest upon the reading of his holy word, and may help us and teach us to pray. Most gracious and merciful Lord God Almighty, help us, we pray, to bow before thee, to seek thy face, to be with us this evening hour as we gather in thy house together. We would see Jesus. Oh, that our eyes may be opened to behold those wondrous things out of thy word, that we be pleased to send down thy Spirit, to cause it to be that flowing forth of living water, O Lord, to supply our every need, to be that flowing then of thy blessing for our souls. We come to thee, most gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, who is the giver and sustainer of all life. So we are kept by thy power to this present moment, preserved in thy mercies. We do pray for those softened hearts of thanksgiving to glorify thee, who art gracious and merciful and long-suffering, and lengthens out still to us the brittle thread of our lives, or that they may be to the honour and glory of thy great and holy name. Dear Lord, do come into our midst if it could please thee, according to thine own gracious promise to be where thy people are, to be in the midst of them, and oh, may one in our midst, we pray thee, may we lose sight one of another, and see no man save Jesus only. Given to feel the indwelling of thy presence in our souls, and know thee to be that altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000s. All our hearts desire may be unto thee, most gracious Lord. Let us be in the midst of our desires and our affections, turning our hearts from every earthly thing, and setting them on thyself who art in heaven, one risen and glorified. O most gracious Lord, do in mercy so lift our hearts to thee, and oh, may we feel thou dost condescend to us in all our need, in our gathering before thee. O Lord, to speak through thine own word of truth, to open our ears to hear what God the Lord will speak, to hear what the Spirit speaketh unto the churches. Could it please thee thus to send down thy Holy Spirit of truth, O Lord, to open our hearts concerning the Scriptures, even as we read of thy dear disciples when thou was risen and was ministering to them. And so, most gracious Lord, we pray at this evening hour of thy day, we may know those same blessings of thy gracious presence, and, O Lord, of that comfort and hope in our souls, that thou who art the same yesterday and today and for ever, thou may so graciously appear for us, and, O Lord, manifest unto us thy rich blessing. We do seek thy blessing in the word of truth as we read it together, and pray indeed thou wouldst speak forth in it to our own souls, we pray thee. And so, Lord, make known thy blessing in each case, each need, as we gather before thee here this evening. O Lord, shine into each soul with the light of thy truth, we pray thee, and dispel the darkness and deliver us from our unbelief. But do grant that light, O Lord, and life that cometh from above, oh, that leadeth unto thee, we do pray thee. Do abundantly bless this provision of thy house here, the house of prayer. Oh, may it be indeed even so, the house of prayer for all people, O Lord, as thou hast appointed it to be so, and that very gate of heaven to each of our souls. Thine own word may have free course and be glorified. The labours of thy dear servant, the pastor here, may be much blessed and owned of thee, and used to the pulling down of strongholds, we pray thee, and to the building of the walls of Jerusalem. So remember him in his case and need at this time, and grant that renewing of strength and healing, restoring mercies, we pray thee. We may again labour, O Lord, in the power of thy Spirit, we do beseech of thee, both here and upon the walls of Zion, if it could please thee. Lord, be a strength and helper in the waiting time and watching time, we pray. Do help the deacons of the cause here, and be with them in their many labours also, we pray thee. And thy dear servants labouring and ministering in word and truth, O Lord, do supply their need upon the Lord's day once more, and upon every occasion. And Lord, be one in the midst to make known thy blessing in church and congregation, to supply each need, to visit each soul. O Lord, to shine forth and presence thyself as one in the midst, we pray thee. O Lord, do come and supply each need for each one, we pray, that we each may cast all their cares upon thee, and commit all their way unto thee, and prove that thou alone dost bring it to pass, one merciful and gracious and long-suffering. Do strengthen the weak and heal the sick, we pray thee, and whatever any absent ones where they are also, being with them in every case, every need, and making known to them also thy own gracious presence, we pray thee. Lord, do shine down from above into our souls, and so lighten our darkness, we pray, and lead us in the way everlasting. And gather into thy gathering people here yet, we pray, those that shall and must be saved, and make them thy blessing still amongst them, in the wondrous workings of thy Holy Spirit of truth sent down, we pray thee. And so, Lord, grant those refreshings from the presence of the Lord to be where'er thy people are. Lord, to bless thy Zion in these latter days, to strengthen the things that remain, we pray thee, to shine in the power and the light of thine own Spirit of truth, trusting out labourers more to minister in the gospel, and gathering in those that shall hear the word, we pray thee, even those in wandering ways to be returning ones, those to be awakened to righteousness, and to flee unto thee, the refuge of sinners. Oh, do be pleased to bless thy one church, we pray thee, with those that shall and must be saved, as thou hast anointed them unto eternal life. O Maya cries, go unto thee for thy work to appear. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children, we pray. And so may thine own word be prospered and fulfilled and blessed, according to thine own promise, that it shall not return to thee void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper it in the thing whereto I send it. O Lord, do clothe with power thine own word of truth, we pray thee. O Lord, give us those hearts to be concerned as to how we, Lord, are affected by thy word. Oh, may it not leave us as it finds us, may there be that difference wrought in our hearts, that voice heard of thee. O Lord, that gracious keeping power from our own sinful heart and self, that quickening of thy spirit given, who sanctify its pathway in providence, in the helper of each one day by day, blessing dear little ones and younger friends in all their ways, preserving and keeping them as the apple of thine eye in the days of darkness. But be a light unto them to help them in all that they should do, we pray thee, in thine own tender fear, in those ways thou hast appointed for them. And so likewise for each one of us, as thou dost appoint those pathways, though so mysterious to us, yet enable us to cast all our care upon thee, to seek thy good hand to be with us, to uphold us and to help us, and to see the rich provision thou hast made in what thou hast appointed for us, we pray thee. Oh, how gracious and merciful thou art in that supply of every need, in that testimony that all our springs are in thee. Dear Lord, do cause that flowing forth still, we pray thee, even from the fountain of thy precious blood, to make known that washing and cleansing from all sin, we pray thee. Oh Lord, do shine into each of our needy cases, we pray thee, preparing us for the unknown pathway and for all thy will and eternity that quickly cometh. For our continual gathering is that reminder of the shortness of time, the quickening passage of it. Oh Lord, the swiftness of days and of months and of years, and of the certainty of eternity that cometh, and of our great need to be made ready, O most gracious God, to stand before thee. We pray thy quickening spirit's power to lift our hearts from all here below, and to fix them on thyself and those things which are above, we pray thee. So may there be an enabling given to hear thy voice and to follow thee. O Lord, thy commandment to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so thou art pleased to freely add the many blessings and give those many mercies and needful things. O most gracious Lord, give us more grace to seek thee first and to acknowledge thee in thy graciousness and thy great mercy, thy long-suffering toward us. Dear Lord, do thus humble us, we pray, and soften our hard hearts, and deliver us in our daily pathways from our own spirits, we pray thee, helping us to cast every care upon thee. Dear Lord, do so go on to be gracious, we pray thee, and remember thy people wherever they are, the many that are sick and laid low, and for them thy strengthening mercies may be given if it is thy holy will. And thy hand that sanctifieth, we pray thee, thy blessing of comfort to those that are in sorrowfulness. And O Lord, delivering in the day of distress and sorrow the many in the nations of the earth that are brought low, in the times that we live in thou knowest, the storms thou hast caused across the face of the earth, and the great destruction that it bringeth. Oh, may there be that remembering of souls that are found in those times, those places, O most gracious Lord. May there be hearts brought to repentance, and to that seeking after thy mercies if it could please thee, that needful confession of sin. Oh, what need we have it in that personal way continually, to be delivered from our own poverty, our own shame, our own proneness to go astray, to be filled with our own spirit. But may thy work thus be shone forth into many souls, we pray thee, where'er they are found, and so many of the nations of the earth in places of sore trouble and great need. Deliver us in the day of darkness in our own nation. Awaken yet many to righteousness if it could please thee. And turn us again unto thee, and cause thy face to shine. Give wisdom to our rulers, our prime minister, our cabinet. O Lord, lead them not to their own natural wisdom and spirit, but may there be that which is given May that overruling hand be known, overruling the many proposals of evil yet to be turned into good if it is thine own will. Thy hand, O Lord, to turn back, we pray unto thee, to stem the tide of sin, to make known thyself as one that is almighty. And truly we have to acknowledge continually thou art upon the throne. Oh, do thy work wonders yet, we pray, and deliver us in the days of our solemnities. And oh, shine forth in the light of thy truth, if it could please thee in the hearts of many, both in authority and the peoples of the nations of the earth, we pray thee. And with us thy one church, where'er they are, bless them upon the Lord's day, we pray thee. As we continue to seek thy blessing where'er each are found, Lord, and those that yet come into thy day still, to be with them in it, and bless them in their gatherings and the gospel of thy grace. O Lord, they may know and feel thy presence. And so what need we have in that like manner to seek thy blessing in our midst also? Sending down of thy Spirit to lead us into thy truth, we pray thee. The sealing of thy blessing in the hymns that we sing, that in all things thy name may be glorified. So most gracious Lord, we bow humbly before thee and seek thy blessing and thy mercy, to cleanse us and to wash us from our every sin, to clothe us in thy righteousness, Lord Jesus, and grant that sweet evidence and assurance that we are complete in thee. So could it please thee thus to remember us with the favour that thou dost bear unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. So pour in that one might pour out if it could please thee. And may there be that blessing known in each of our souls. We ask all in thy worthy name and for thy sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening, and the pastor is also expected, God willing, next Lord's Day. And on that day we take our monthly collection. Let us now sing hymn number 767, the tune Moriah, 495. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. Speak thy pardoning grace to me. Set the burdened sinner free. Lead me to the Lamb of God. Wash me in his precious blood. Hymn number 767. Let thy name
God shall be pleased to help me this evening. I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a subject you'll find in the book of Jonah. And in chapter 2, we'll read together the fourth verse. The book of Jonah, chapter 2, reading the fourth verse. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The fourth verse of chapter 2 in the book of Jonah. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. This well-known account in the Word of God that speaks of a time when Jonah, the servant of the Lord, was found in the spirit of rebellion to, in that most solemn way, flee from the presence of the Lord. We cannot but wonder at what must have entered his mind and spirit to think that there was such a place that he could flee from the presence of the Lord, but to remind us the capability in that solemn way of our own heart and spirit, and the great need of this same restoring grace and keeping power to preserve our souls, to be the answer to that prayer in Psalm 121, the Lord being the keeper, the Lord preserving the soul. And such was the great need that Jonah had, and in any one of our hearts likewise, are we not to realize the same gracious need of a God to deliver us and to keep us by his own merciful power? And of course in this chapter 2 is the recorded prayer at this time, when Jonah was in those literal depths as well as spiritual depths, places that we cannot but ever think to come into literally, but spiritually God knoweth the feelings that any one of us may sink into, and what need we have of the same great and gracious God who is almighty in his salvation to come into that very place and to truly be in the spirit that looks upon us. Truly we can see that concerning Jonah, that he was watched over ere he had any thoughts of looking unto his God to seek deliverance. That same gracious eye of the Lord was ever upon him, even where he was going astray, and would bring to pass this time when he should return. Oh, truly thou, God, seest me, seest us every one, and what great need we have to tremble at that thought of the eye of the Almighty that is upon us. And yet we have it revealed here in great mercies. There are the solemn things done in righteousness that Jonah knew well that this matter had come to pass because of his own spirit, his own sinful desire, his very acting out of those thoughts and seeking to flee and turn away from the command that God had given him to go to Nineveh and to preach against it concerning the wickedness, to send the warning message. And of course, as we know, as we read on, the second time that word came in that same way to direct him in that same pathway. Oh, may we hear the word of God in its power. You think of that word that we read of in the Psalms, that once has he spoken, but twice have I heard, that power belongeth unto God, and also unto God belongeth mercy. And we see both here that power and that mercy. God sent the word the second time. But really, as we think of God's word, it is spoken of him and yet heard so many times. And what great need we have to hear the voice of the word of God many, many times over, as a word of power, a word of mercy to our souls and into our cases. And what a gracious hope is in God that in reading the word of God it may speak, oh, to our great need in our souls. The word of life sent down to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word himself that was made flesh. Of course, the relation here of Jonah to the Lord Jesus Christ was the sign that was spoken of, that he, like Jonah, then would be in the earth those 3 days and three nights. And as spoken by the Lord Jesus then as that sign to those Ninevites that would hear of this. Those sailors, no doubt, as they returned, would speak of this great happening that had taken place. They had thought to have perished in the tempest of the sea, and yet through one who they knew not was cast into the sea, now there was a great calm. And so as this one appears and is preaching, he is one, as it were, is alive from the dead, one plucked as that brand out of the fire or the depths of God's fiery trial. to declare the word of God. And really, God's work in our souls is to bring us forth as those that are delivered from death or brought again by resurrection power from the dead, by that new life that he giveth. And we need that life flowing down from heaven. It is to teach us that we do not rely upon our own wisdom or spirit or the natural life that is also the gift of a good and gracious God to us, for the natural strength that we have the need of. Oh, this spiritual life. It is solemn to realize that Jonah is not recorded as praying until he was in that fish's belly. The others were praying unto their gods in their ways, as it is made mention, but so solemnly the child of God was asleep and unmoved by the great tempest. Needed that ungodly sailor to awaken him, that mariner, that chief one, to speak those words, and what words they are, to awaken us. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Oh, how solemn if we are asleep to the dangers of this world, of this life, of our souls. And yet others are fearing of the solemn times that we are in. God, deliver us from this sleepy spirit of unbelief, of indifference, of our own lifted up spirit, to not tremble as guilty sinners before a holy God. Coming to our text this evening, as it is the language then of the soul of Jonah, as we read, then prayed Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. The what we might call the prayer of extremity in the time of his greatest need. He knowing that the matter was appointed of the Lord. For as we read in that third verse, thou hadst cast me into the deep. He did not speak of the men that he was with that had cast him in there. It was God who had cast him into the deep. Who had appointed the storm and had appointed that he should be that one cast therein. Was there an intimation in his own soul that that was to be done? The only way that the others could be delivered was in that matter. And so in the depths he acknowledges it indeed, that it was God alone that had cast him there into that deep and in the midst of the seas. And will God not have us to confess his hand in that any matter that is laid upon us? That he has appointed it, we are to hear that rather than who has appointed it. Be brought in humility and softness of heart to bow before the Almighty in that great need of a spirit of confession and of acknowledgement of our own sinful heart that so readily turns aside, goes astray, wanders in its own way. And so in this language Jonah speaks, and the floods have compassed me about, all thy billows and waves passed over me. We, I believe, read that expression also in Psalm 42 in the prayer meeting this morning. And would it not have been that Jonah, acquainted with such words as recorded as the Psalms, an expression of God's billows and waves passed over him, his, of course, literally as well as spiritually, crying out by this reason of his affliction unto the Lord. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and that acknowledgement, he heard me, thou heardest my voice. And so in this verse then, I said, I am cast out of thy sight, out of the comfortable sight of the Lord's countenance. But in that place where he feared his wrath, because here was God's chastening, God's rod. And yet to find that precious grace of hope in this little word, yet. Hope thou in God. The great fear of the heart that as one that has sinned, oh, surely we must now be condemned. It must be cast out forever. Thus is the justice concerning our own hearts of sinfulness, our own lives, that have turned aside. What a precious grace hope is in the soul that hath that yet in it, yet I will look again. This holy temple then referring to God who is in heaven. There was of course the temples in the earth that were known, and the presence of God that was known there, but how could such a one in such depths yet look toward that, as it were, in a way of direction, but only to look upward? And the looking unto God who is in that holy place of heaven to be the dwelling place from where the gracious God in his mercy looks yet upon his dear people. And so once more to remind us that in the soul looking to God, it is God who has first looked upon us, that we may even look unto him. We love him because he first loves us. And in that precious verse is the teaching that the origins, the springs must be in God. That as we are to know and feel in the measure of it by the Spirit's teaching us, that in our flesh, in our own self, is no good thing. Oh, it's not even the desire, the ability to look up, to look toward thy holy temple. Oh, but it is he that has looked, and he that has given that desire, that felt need. And he is the secret in all the matter that truly in watching over Jonah here would cause him then to be looking unto him, bringing forth that look and longing desire. And so we find in God's word that expression is used as the look of faith, that in so doing is in the spirit of seeking and crying forth for deliverance, but also in that look of gracious hope to receive God's great blessing for our souls. Think of that word in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45 that speaks, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And it's that great need of our souls in looking unto him, even in these ends of the earth places, and be ye saved, to behold the salvation, to be a seeking soul after that salvation, to become this evening as a seeking soul. Oh, seeking that balm of Gilead to be applied to our needy souls, our great need in our cases. So sore is our trouble by sinful hearts and spirits, and deep those wounds are that sin hath made. We need that balm of Gilead. We need that restoring anointing of our God. Oh, may we ever look to that great physician himself, who indeed restoreth souls, who hath those healings to give, who receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Who is that one who is yet looking upon us, that we may yet look upon him? He feels in his spirit that I said I am cast out of thy sight. So the leading and teaching of the Spirit here declares that there is that feeling sense that he is hiding that face, that we are in those times of the shadows and not the shining and the rays of the sun that bring the light and the warmth with them, but as it were in the hidings of his face. And that which is so sore troubling to the soul, that knowledge that he is God, that one that knoweth all about us, and yet we cannot perceive or have any intimation of the smile of his face, that he is yet looking mercifully down upon us to restore us. And I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Oh, justly he feels then to be in that lowest place. And who can stretch forth an arm, a hand to deliver, but he whose everlasting arms are underneath? He who has sunk the lowest is those everlasting arms himself, when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose sufferings and sorrows are greater than any other. And in that way the one who has sunk the lowest to deliver his people from those depths that he has appointed them also in their measure to come into. His in the fullness, ours but in the measure, and yet how tremendous those depths are in the feeling of them. So helpless we are ever to be lifted out of our own self. But the eternal God, again being our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, to know that great blessing of the eternal God is thy refuge. Who do we flee to? Who do we trust in? Who can we go unto? See, Peter speaks in that beautiful way of profession. Lord, to whom else can we go when asked, will he also go away? But thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Very full words of profession there that will be much sorely tried. You see, it was a blessed truth indeed. There is none other to go unto. He alone has those words of eternal life. Oh, may there be the Spirit shining in our souls to give that same sweet testimony, to be believe and to be sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Truth revealed in our hearts is to reveal the certainty of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. God revealed in the person of his blessed Son to guilty sinners, the only hope of salvation for our souls, the only truth that we read of salvation is of the Lord. No other hand to come into such a place that he felt to be. And yet therein he fears that I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again. And yet to prove that there was one still looking, still watching over his pathway. Let us think of that word in Psalm 34 that speaks that the eye of the Lord is open unto the righteous, his ear is open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And then it speaks then of the eye of the Lord that watcheth and his ear that heareth. Or that together we often read then of God watching and God hearing concerning his dear people. And as Jonah acknowledges the Lord hearing his cry out of the belly of hell, is he not there watching where he was to know where that cry would come from? And so in that great matter of our cries being heard of our God, is it not yet that to be seen that he is looking to where we are, that ear of his may be open unto our cry? He in looking sees the great need that we have, puts the prayer into our hearts, breathes upon us that spirit of grace and of supplications that he promises in the prophecy of Zechariah to pour out upon his people, a spirit of confession, of acknowledgement, that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. There shall be that acknowledgement that it is a sin against Almighty God. As we read this morning in Luke 15 concerning the returning prodigal, his sin was against heaven and against his Father. And sin then is against the holy God in heaven, who we need to yet be merciful and gracious to us, who looks down from that height of his heaven. And again, that of looking and listening is declared in Psalm 102 of God looking from that height of his sanctuary and looking not in judgment, in wrath and anger, but to hear the cry and the sigh of his people, to loose those that are appointed to death, to send a hand of deliverance, to overrule this fear and this feeling that we are cast out of his sight. The feeling then to be so afar off, oh, helpless, hopeless in our own self. But this wondrous grace of hope that looks again. Precious word again is, it speaks of the continuing of God's work in our souls. It's wonderful to see in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus speaks about his own disciples that he would see them again and they would rejoice. At the present they would have the sorrow. He would be absent from them. They would know much of what it would be to walk in a lonely pathway. But his great gracious promise is, I will see you again. That there can never be a last visit for our souls. For the little word again speaks of another visit that he has appointed. Another time when he will come. Only in the looking and the listening, but to visit with his gracious presence. And truly this is here in Jonah looking again, or in that continued spirit, seeking after the blessing of the presence of his God. One that might yet come to that place where he was in, and bring forth him in deliverance. Oh, what a place it was for him to come into, those waters that were compassing him about, even to the soul, the depths enclosing him. Round about me, wrapped me about my head. And so God appoints those troubles and trials for our souls, and yet the wondrous promise to bring through the water and the fire that we read of in Isaiah 43, that when thou passest through, I will be with thee. Oh, what most sacred promise that is for God to be with us, a very present help in trouble. And surely we see it here in this case of Jonah. Oh, not here then to speak then as one that accepts the trouble of his heart that brings him here, but brings a deliverance to him. Brings him to loathe the sin of his heart. And must ever bring us to loathe the sins of our hearts. And in that way sanctifying us to flee ever from them. Solomon, so many live in a profession of religion that continue in the way of sin, that seek the things of their own spirit, their own desires, and have the evidence of the fear of God that is bringing them to flee from sin unto the Saviour. Flee from sin, as we sing it in the hymn, as from a serpent, whose bite then full of poison must bring death. Oh, what a serpent's bite then is in sin. It is death within us and all about us indeed. And what deliverance we need from our God to flee from that sin. Him to come down and deliver us by this great mercy of his power. Yet I would look again toward thy holy temple. Continual exhortation of our souls that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, how we need that exhortation of our Lord Jesus Christ to be much laid to heart in its simplicity and yet its great profoundness, where we realise our inability to always pray and not to faint. And yet is it not his to give that spirit of prayer, to bring out those sighs and those groans, those groanings of, Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, like dear Nehemiah, in secret prayer, when asked of the king why we were so sad, what was his request? And yet, we read there, he prayed unto his God. And before answering that prayer, we're not told concerning it, oh, it was an answer prayer that he was unable to speak. And those many things were given that he should be appointed where to take back for the rebuilding of those desolations of Jerusalem. And what a blessing there is, the same God to go to in a great need, to be directed, to be helped in what he alone is pleased to do for us in the face of most ill circumstances of providence, as it may seem. One that is almighty to intervene and to overrule for us. See this, looking again toward his holy temple. In and of itself it looks as a place he must be banished from, because here is one so full of sin and rebellion. And yet you see in this appointed way of repentance and returning, there is that acceptance found because of the love that is set upon that soul. And because the love that has brought the place of deliverance in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that only acceptance of a guilty soul before a holy God, and those Old Testament saints then were accepted in the same beloved, in what yet must be done, in the appearing of the dear Son of God here in the earth. The same merits would speak for them in what would yet be performed, but yet was seen as done, and as without failing to be done. In what we look upon then is that covenant of God's grace, that they shall be my people and I will be their God, saith the Lord. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. There were many sacrifices to declare the exceeding sinfulness of sin, but there was to be that one great sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ, the dear Son of God, to put an end to those many sacrifices that were brought about in the earthly temple. But in heaven there was that one sacrifice that was to be looked to, that would give the atonement, the covering of the sin, the acceptance of that soul in the merits of that sacrifice. And so when we behold the blessing of God before, ere the full accomplishment, as we may say, of salvation in the works of Christ's life, how it puts that greater light upon that expression of the Lord Jesus when he speaks upon his resurrection, that ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory. He knew the matters that were needful to undertake, and that none other could fulfill, and that every soul precious unto him concerning his people were bound up in what he would undertake and do and fulfill here in the earth. Blessed be his name, that he alone knew the greatness of that ought that he spoke of, that he could not fail to perform that which he alone had undertaken and covenanted to do. And blessed be his name, he came and has fulfilled those things. And so it is that drawing of his Spirit for living faith in gracious hope, to look again in that gracious hope. And really, what we may say, in that spirit then of the Ninevites, when they heard the ministry of Jonah warning them against the sins of their hearts, against God's pending judgment upon them, and yet what gracious effect it was given in the power that it was received in, that from the king then downward there was that mourning over that sin, and that spirit to turn from their way of evil. And so that beautiful expression that we read, and who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. For the Lord knows the reality of that turning, but there was that given that they should not be destroyed at that time in the hearing of that word that was preached, or that we may be delivered in our souls from our sins. Oh, what a wondrous, gracious hope is in this. Who can tell? Yet will I look again in that. Who can tell whether God will be gracious or no? It is not the Spirit then within us that says what will be, what will be. Not that fatalistic spirit of our own corrupt nature, but of that gracious hope that he is merciful and long-suffering. That soul by him will be drawn again and again to look, will have the felt need to look. Or in other words, it is that continuing in prayer. It's he that first puts the felt need, but who can tell the times without number that we must come and come to him looking, seeking after him to receive of his blessing. What we receive in gracious hope, we may still seek after to be renewed and refreshed, to realize that without it being so, we are feeling and fearing that we are cast out of his sight, that we have not the side of that smiling countenance that reveals his mercy. Because how soon our own spirit then is found turning aside. How much it needs restoring. So in the words then of Jonah's spirit here this evening, it speaks in that same way of the Lord Jesus speaking concerning the path of prayer that he has promised in those words of asking and seeking and knocking, that to such in asking it shall be given, and joined to that asking must be the seeking, for they shall find, and to such as who knock then it shall be opened unto them. And we cannot of course separate those things that Christ has taught there about him, that simple little word of ask, and thereby they speak of what he gives the soul then to long after and to desire and to request. He will also give the faith to look for, and here then that looking again. He gives the Elijah's servant whom he sent to look those seven times for the appearance of the rain. Of course, upon his return the first time he said there was nothing, and so often that is our fear in our heart, there is yet nothing. And Elijah would hear again six times there was nothing. But you see, the seventh time, or that perfect time that God had appointed, there was the answer of the cloud as a man's hand that appeareth, or God revealing the answer to prayer that rain was to come according to his promise. And we are in that like spirit to those that are to watch and to pray, to be watching in our prayers, not to be praying and forgetting. That is how the devil will have us to pray, to make many requests, but to be forgetful of every one of them, to not be concerned, to look for the answer, to have it in a way of formality and not of reality. Out of the great feelings of the depths of our need in our souls. And so that soul in his watching and waiting will be that knocking soul, that there might be an opening of the door. Entering in of that door of mercy. And what a blessing he is, that one that openeth. Knows the feebleness of those knockings of the soul, yet will I look again. But you see, the precious thing is toward thy holy temple. That place where the help is to be received from. That flowing down from heaven. That highest place, the place of his presence. And to be that which he is pleased to draw out of our souls, give the strength in our souls to look again, to be one, as we find in many places of God's word, of that looking then unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, the one who, having begun that good work in our soul, will continue it unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not leave off what he has begun. That first felt need, as we fear that we have not felt like that again. That first time of the blessing and sweet presence of the Lord, and yet we fear it is all coldness and death that ariseth. Surely if it were grace, it would conquer for us and be, oh, we would be overflowing of that blessing. But you see, the sovereign goodness of the Lord is to withhold the sweetness and the power to draw out our heart to receive that blessing again. To keep us in that place near unto himself. Oh, to bring us nigh unto him. To bring us as those publicans and sinners that we read of this morning that drew near for to hear him. Or to come in their felt need to receive. And what a great blessing if we come in out of our felt need to receive. Oh, Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For without thy help, without thy mercy, I must forever perish. I must be cast out of thy sight forever. But you see, it is yet in the midst of that fear that we are cast out. He will yet look again in the smile of his love. We think of that look of the Lord Jesus on the ear of Peter when he went out and wept bitterly. Peter being shown that he could not keep himself, he was there left to his own self to deny his Lord and Master with oaths and curses. And we, like Peter, there are those that deny our Lord and Master, oh, in our silences. That's in words of like then, not knowing him when we do, acknowledging that there is a living God. You see the restoring of Peter in the Lord turning and looking, showing that he was one that, having spoken the word, had brought it to pass. And he that had proclaimed that he would stand firm would now acknowledge he had so greatly failed. And there was no word, as it were, spoken, but it was within the look that was received. And yet we see there was that weeping bitterly. Oh, so greatly different then to Judas Iscariot then, who, having betrayed them, was to take his own life. There was no place of hope for his soul. There was no desire of his soul to look up, to look to that one whom he professed to follow after and to be the disciple of. Oh, this precious truth that brings a soul to look again, and truly is to acknowledge that he has looked upon us, has been mindful of us in our lowest state, and in his mercy in that lowest state that we are in, brings us to be one looking unto him. Will he not have us to look upon him then, as those words speak in the Hebrews, to be strengthened in our hearts, to be those that shall endure, as we need one to keep us, and enduring is only as we are kept. You see that truth that he speaketh, that he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved, is not upon our dependence, depending on us to endure, to be strong enough in ourselves to continue. But really in it, a gracious promise that the grace that he has given is an enduring grace. And it will be an enduring faith. But you see, the great example is set before us of one that has endured that greatest suffering, that sinking of the lowest place, that contradiction of sinners against himself, who for that joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised its shame. Oh, the wondrous love that flowed into the heart of the Saviour for the souls of his people, to bear that greatest place of open shame and that deepest place of suffering, to redeem the souls of his guilty people. Oh, the sin that he bore that caused him to cry out in that place, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So the precious gospel then that flows through our Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering Saviour. And will he not have us to look upon him, look unto him, that we may be that enduring one, as the Apostle Paul speaks to those the believers amongst the Jews, that was to be their secret of their faith, was from its very source in the dear Son of God to them. Oh, that they may behold him that endured that cross, who despised its shame. Consider him that endured that contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be faint and wearied in your mind. And how faint and weary we are, that only because we do not always pray, because we consider not him, that apostle and high priest of our profession. And so this spirit then of looking again is that looking unto him whom we are to behold, whom we are to see, and to behold upon that throne of mercy. We may plead with him to supply that every need for us, in that glimpse of the dear Saviour's face, in that glimpse of him who hath done all things well, there may be that precious flowing down into our souls. That were, as it were, then that rock smitten from whence those waters, living waters, flow down to us to supply our every need. To bring that reviving of our souls. To bring that blessing that he has appointed. And so he alone has that grace to give, to enable the soul to be one that endureth. It's not according to man's standard, not according to what we may look upon another, or others may boast to us of their great ability to do so many things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for him. But you see, this looking soul is beholding those things that he has done for us, that he appoints to be revealed to us, given unto us, to be that very portion for our own needy souls that are so poor and destitute, and indeed without him we can do nothing. There is the vital truth in its reality. Those dear apostles must needs know their dependence was to be ever upon their living head, their Lord and Master. Though he be bodily absent from them, that dependence would come through the Spirit of truth, revealing him. And so to us in a gospel day, it is in that same way. We depend upon him for everything. And all it is by that sweet revelation and manifestation of the Holy Spirit of truth to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, to take of those things of the Lord Jesus and reveal them unto us, to speak the words that he has spoken in that word of his precious promise that he shall indeed teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever is spoken unto you. Though we have forgotten the savour of them, the power that they have come with, he renews that blessing. He brings the savour, the power, the sweetness of the word. It is not forgotten of him, it is remembered for us in heaven. It is there to be sent from heaven to refresh our souls. Oh, is it a word to search us out, to bring us again, like dear Jonah, looking unto him, that he may indeed look upon us in this gracious love and tender mercy, and bring with it that reviving, strengthening and renewing of our souls, and strengthening us according to the need and the time that we are in. And so the dear apostle could say that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. He knew how to be abased, how to abound. He was speaking to those Philippians in that way, that in whatsoever state he was there, he was content. He had learned in that matter God's teaching by gracious experience. Many solemn things that he had passed through. What a sanctifying there was in it. He knew that he could never get beyond that great need of looking unto his dear Saviour. But oh, through him appearing, he could do those all things. Be sustained when brought so low in being abased. Be kept when lifted up with God's blessing to glorify God in it. To be given the strength to receive that blessing. And not to be lifted up with air to praise himself when God was to be praised. Oh, God will bring the blessing in its power to bring us in nothingness before him, that he may be glorified. So you see, those all things are likewise in the enabling of God then by his dear Son and by his Spirit to the soul through the merits of our dear Saviour. Oh, the same great need of our looking again toward thy holy temple, that looking up in that simple way of teaching, to whence then cometh our help, from the God of heaven above the hills himself, and whence we look, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. One who in creation then has breathed all into existence, has spoken it as it is done, and can he not still speak into our souls and make known this same blessing of eternal life, set our souls at liberty, reveal the precious blood that atoneth, show that passing over of our sin, that receiving of the soul at last into his holy temple, the place where he would dwell with his people forever, the place of heavenly presence. Oh, what we read in the word of God, that is to be with Christ, which is far better, and to be indeed forever with the Lord, never out of the presence Oh, ever in that sacred compass of his love, he knoweth what he must bring us into and bring us through. And that is the great blessing in this word this evening. The looking again is the path of the Saviour, bringing the soul through, safely through, securely through, by those arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. May he bless the word, and may he forgive all that is amiss. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 1056 to the tune Manger 364. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul encouraged by thy word at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. Take courage then, my trembling soul. One look from Christ can make thee whole. Trust thou in him. 'Tis not in vain, but wait and look again. Hymn number 1056.
And look from Christ.
Most gracious Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest pardon and forgive all that is amiss in our worship this day. Do bless unto us each thine own word of truth. Do watch upon us now as we separate one from another. Keep us in peace and in safety in all our journeys that we make, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.